Good morning. I bet some of you actually thought church started at 11. Surprise. Maybe not. There's a verse in Psalm 100, verse 4, that says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good," down in verse 5, "his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." In verse 2, I could have started in 2, "Come before his presence with singing." I don't see any worship leaders here this morning, but that's okay, because God gave me this before I knew they weren't going to be here on time, or maybe at all. I don't know. But you know what? It says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving. That means if you can't find God's presence, a good place to start is be thankful. And then it tells us even what we should thank him for. We should be blessing his name because he's good. Yes. God is good. Yes. All the time, God is good. We are not. Right. My sin keeps seeping out, my daughter says, like garlic through your skin when you ate too much, you know? But every time I turn around, I'm going, why did I act like that? Why did I say that again, you know? And just sinful attitudes. We are not good all the time, but God is always good. He never has a bad attitude day. Never. And we should be so thankful that God is good. Do you know how hard it is to keep ourselves good? Try it. I don't think you make 24 hours of always having good thoughts, good intentions, kindness in your heart, righteousness, honesty, mercy. I can't make 24 hours. So I thank God that he has protected his holiness. Amen. He has protected his holiness. He never allows himself to be bitter, hateful, vengeful, to take our rejection of him and be so hurt that he's stubborn and has an attitude of unforgiveness. So I thank God that he is good, and I thank him that his mercy is everlasting, because I need his mercy like 150 times every day. I'm so thankful that it never runs out. He never says, "Enough, I'm done with you, fed up." Thank him that he never gives up on me, never. I've given up on some people in my life, and then God rebukes me for that. I mean, there's sometimes people, they just keep going and doing the same thing and the same thing and the same thing, and you forgive them, and they keep doing it to you again and again, and finally you say, "I'm done, I'm fed up, I mean, surely God's even fed up with this, you know." And then you ask him, "What do you want me to do?" And he says, "I want to win them with unconditional, outrageous love." He's amazing. And his truth endures to all generations. There's not a new truth. There is no new truth. There is truth revealed to us in new ways that we haven't seen, but it's not new. So I really want, do I want other people to see God? If I could have a big magnifying glass, what do you think about that? If I'm trying to get somebody to see God, but they don't see God, what if I could get a big spiritual magnifying glass and say, "Look, here's God," and magnify him so big they would see him? Wouldn't that be a great idea? Do you want somebody to see God that doesn't see God? Well, listen to this verse, Psalm 69:30. "I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving." Our thanksgiving proves the reality of God. When we shouldn't be thankful, when things are tough, when you lose your house, you lose a friend, you're sick, at the times most people would grumble and complain, we magnify the reality of God by thanking him, by being thankful. "God, I know that you're watching over me, and all things work together for my good. So no matter what's happening, I praise God. Thank you, God. I know this is going to be good for me." To magnify means to boast, enlarge, greatly promote, and proudly speak about God. And it says, "This also pleases the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that has horns and hoofs." Those were their sacrifices back then. "Let the heaven and the earth praise, shine, boast, celebrate him, and the seas and everything that moves therein. Do you move? If you have movement, it didn't even say everything that's alive. It said everything that moves. Well, trees are really alive. They are alive and their leaves move. Rocks don't even move. And Jesus said, if the people didn't praise me, the rocks would cry out.
Right.
But he said, everything in the earth and in the sea and in the sky and in the heaven that moves should be praising God, magnifying, glorifying him. This is just worship time. This is not the message today. Psalm 107:22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Why is it sometimes a sacrifice to worship and praise and thank? Because when you can't see him, when you can't see him, you're declaring his works are true because you believe what he has told you, even when you can't see it. That's faith. So you start praising him and saying, well, I don't have anything to be depressed about. Paul said, I don't care if I'm sitting in jail. We're just going to sing and worship and praise God because he can do anything. Pretty soon an angel came and just opened the prison door and let him out. When we're sitting and grumbling and complaining, we're saying, God is not good. I don't believe him. He's not being nice to me right now. He's not being fair to me right now. I don't understand what's going on, and I'm mad at God. I used to get mad at people for being mad at God, and then God got mad at me. No. He said, I don't need you to defend me. I don't need you to defend me. Just encourage them that I'm still here. I still care. I still will take care of them. But the other sacrifice, he said he likes it more than the ox. So what was the sacrifice? The word sacrifice in the Old Testament actually meant they were going to slaughter something. They were going to kill a lamb. They were going to kill an animal and put blood on the altar. It cost them the sheep they raised for a living. It cost the sheep his life. That's a sacrifice. Sometimes it's a sacrifice to praise God. We don't feel like it. We don't want to. It's a sacrifice of your pride when you don't want to stand in front of people and look like a nut dancing around, you know, like me, and looking foolish and silly. Why is it foolish and silly to praise God? People go to ball games. I have seen the stupidest things at ball games. They paint their face weird colors. They take their shirt off and paint their chest some weird thing. And then they jump up and down and act like a nut over a ball team. And they come to church and say, I don't want to raise my hand. That's conspicuous. Get up and be crazy for God.
Amen.
Worship and praise him. Well, how excited would God get if you got as excited over him as you did over a football game? Why don't we? Because we've been taught religion. We've been taught that God wants us to walk around in a whisper, kneel, whisper in his holy presence. There is that place of God's quiet holy presence. But do you think he's sitting on his throne in silence for all eternity? He created the thought of football. He created humor. He is funny. He is fun. I have seen visions of him splashing around in mud puddles, dancing crazily. God has a personality. He's not boring. One day when Janaya was a little girl and we were going to a very, very quiet type church, she said, Mommy, do you think heaven's like church? Because if it is, I don't really want to go there. Church should be like heaven. And it's not boring. Read your Bible. It is not boring. So it can cost us our pride to sing and dance and worship. It can cost us fear. You have to go against your fear. What will people think of me? You know, I used to care what people thought of me. I don't care now. I care what they think of God. But I sing and worship and praise going down the road in the car by myself, you know, and people drive by and look at you like, there's nobody else in that car, you know, what is she doing? But I see rock and roll people going down, they're shaking their whole car, dancing to their rock and roll. Why? We can be silly for God. It costs you your own self-pity. I don't feel like it today. Well, you're not. It's not about you. It's about him. You know what? You're alive. You're not going to hell for eternity. You have a good God who's merciful, who died in your place so you could live forever in a wonderful place. Even if you're sick today, even if you've lost everything, you still have a lot to be thankful about. Psalm 95:2. So let us come before his presence. Would you like to come into the presence of God today? First, you need to enter his gates by being thankful for who he is. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. If you don't know what to thank him for, thank him for who he is. And make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. The word psalms means musical instruments, singing, and dancing. That is psalms. So come into his presence today with thankfulness, with singing and dancing, worshiping, and loving him. Because it will bring his presence here. And no matter what we say here today, we can say all kinds of things. But if you receive it in your brain, it's just more knowledge. If you receive it in your emotions, you can feel good, go home, and not be changed. But when the presence of the Lord comes, you will be changed. You will be drastically, drastically affected. We want his presence. Without his presence, we have another church of religion. We don't want religion. We want the real, present, awesome God to come here this morning, don't we? So praise him and thank him today. Get out of yourself. Throw down your troubles. Throw down your needs. Throw down your Christmas. And let's just praise him.
I'd just like to thank him for answering prayers like he always does. This week specifically, he answered something that had been weighing on my mind and my heart, and he does it in some pretty neat ways sometimes. I just want to give him thanks and praise for that.
I just want to thank God for me being able to open my eyes and wake up this morning. You know, we take it for granted. And, of course, when I had my heart attack, I stopped that. But it's sad that it took something like that for me to turn around and to thank God. Because we have so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for Pastor Harvey and Sue for changing my life. And believe me, it wasn't an easy job. But they never gave up, just like God. And my wife, who puts up with me. I am so amazed that she has such a grace. And I know God gave her that grace. And it's united us into one. And I am so thankful for that. Because next to God, she's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And then Harvey and Sue and then this church and all of you in here are such an important part of my life. I just want to thank you too for putting up with me. Because I know that I'm not perfect by no means and I make mistakes every day. But by the grace of God, I go. And I just want to give thanks for everybody that's in this room today praising my best friend. It's so awesome. Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to let the kids, whatever children have something that they want to thank God for, and then their teachers, so that they could be dismissed after that.
This is the cross. These are the three crosses that I drew. God made angelfish, and they're getting a giant squid.
Okay. So God fed the giant squid, right? What do you got, Sahara?
I'm thankful for my family.
Any of the other kids? This would be the absolutely first time Carson did not have something to say.
I just need to thank God for his goodness, because he's always faithful and he's always good, even when we're not. So, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness, even when I'm not. So,
you are one of the teachers, though, right?
Yeah.
And we invited the teachers, too, so that's okay. Any of the other children or the children's teachers?
No, this is definitely exactly what God was showing me this morning. I woke up and I had a list of 3 million things and another list of 2 million things to do with the wedding and everything going on. And I was sitting here, I was just like, God, I just can't take this. And he's just like blasted me and said, What are you thankful for? And just like all of you guys, and some of you guys I don't know, but most of you I do, and with the wedding coming up in a couple weeks, and everybody has been coming through like crazy and coming out of the woodwork to help out, and I just want to say thank you guys just for what you're all doing. You're all doing so much, and it couldn't happen without you guys. That's the bottom line. So me and Hannah both want to say thank you so much.
This is what I'm thankful for, is Jesus dying on the cross for us and saving our lives, because he walked on waters, he saved us from our sins so we wouldn't go to hell, and so we would live eternal life with God in heaven.
Any other children? Okay, then the children may be dismissed. Any other adults?
You want to go first? You can go first. No, you can go first.
Okay, I'll go first. I am thankful that every day I wake up, it's an opportunity for God to reveal to me my sinfulness so that I can repent of that and come more in line with His will for my life, that His glory can be seen, His power can be seen through me. I want to be a Smith Wigglesworth person where nobody sees me, but they just see Jesus. I was listening to that song and it says, crown me, or I crown you with my love. And that is what crowns him, is our love for other people who are unlovable, who are difficult. And although I don't do that very well, that is my prayer. I need to be more in line with him so that I can love those who are difficult and those who cause me great angst in life. And so I just am really thankful for that opportunity that he gives me every day to look into his face and see what is needs to be burnt off of me.
This is really hard for me because I have a lot of pride. So like she was saying earlier, I don't do this very often. But I wake up every morning and I thank God for my Aunt Patty because she saved my life. It's true.
Anyone else?
A couple months ago, Daniel Weeks, I don't know what Tony Jackson is, but Daniel Weeks drew me a picture. Sorry about that. Like I said, I'm not used to microphones. I got a bit loud enough voice most of the time to speak anyways, but I don't. But, like I said, Daniel Weeks drew me a picture some months ago. I've already shown a few people. I've kept it. God spoke through Daniel. This is supposed to be Trixie and I. Trixie's, not that square, but she's, it's a picture of my...
Is that big in your life, though?
Yeah. She's, like I said, she's, this is me and my dog. But I felt like I was going to say this some time ago, but I never did. I felt like saying it this morning. But another thing, when I got up this morning, I wasn't sure what to read, so, and what part of the scriptures to read, he had me open up to Psalm 74, which I can't pronounce that guy's name. That, you know, the song, he's the one that sung this A.S. Yeah, him, that guy's name. There's so many weird names in the scripture, it's ridiculous. It's not Tom and Lloyd and Fred and whatever, but I was, like I said, I was reading those things, reading, you know, 74 to 83, or start of 84. And it's about how God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And the Lord also said, if you looked a lot of the other scriptures, the prophets, every time Israel rebelled, the prophets would come along and remind the Jewish people where they came from. He reminded them they were slaves. It was him that brought them out. It was him that conquered their territory, you know, gave them land. I got thinking something this morning. Like I said before, American Israel parallels so much. Our ancestors came from Europe seeking freedom, came here. Some years later, he had us go up against the most powerful kingdom of the world, England. It was him that won our victory for our freedom. It was him that allowed us to conquer. It was him that gave us the lands of the Indians, since they were pagans and they were worshiping false gods. He gave us their land. Over and over and over again, you look,
us and Israel and Americans have forgotten the hand of God in this country. It was Him that brought us through World War II. It was Him that allowed us to win World War II. In Psalms, I think it's 84 or 83, I got the verse underlined. The prophet, that Asaph, whatever this guy's name is, was talking about how the heathens was asking Israel, where is your God? God says, the heathens are asking, who is our God? Who is the God of America? Who brought and made this country? It's not where is our God, but who? Americans are messed up on the whole thing right now. I should say some Americans. They don't know. It's our responsibility to teach. It's our responsibility to remind Americans who brought us through all these troubles and trials. And you were talking about coming in the sanctuary. In Psalms 134, I also looked at that. I think it's 134:2, which says, lift your hands to the Lord. And that the Lord says, that's not a suggestion. That's a command. And I don't do that. I don't know how long we're supposed to have them up. For what? Or what? You know, it's a command. At least it didn't say when you feel like it. It says lift. Do it. And
Who wants to comment on why we do that? Somebody want to talk about that?
No, I don't mean how long do you hold them up. That's what I asked you for.
There's no law about it. We'd be legalistic if we said, okay, everybody count 20, you know. Anybody want to comment on why we lift our hands? Sharon, you got something on that? No? I thought you did. I saw your hands going up. Well, for one thing, it's a sign of surrender, isn't it? I surrender everything to you, God. It's a sign of, here I am. Come on. Come meet with me. Invitation. Vulnerable. And just plain old, He's up there and I'm saying, lifting you up. Lifting you up. Praise for you. That's why we lift our hands. And you don't have to lift your hands. I mean, if you've ever been in a Catholic church, everybody's doing the same thing. You go in a Baptist church, everybody's doing clap. We can clap. If you're Baptist, you can clap, right? Everybody claps. And then you go into a charismatic church, everybody's hands are up. Praise is individual. Praise is individual. That's why frequently I dance while He lays on the floor. It's individual. It's the way you worship Him from your own heart. There's no set rule or law about it. So it's okay if you do and okay if you don't. Worship Him however you want. Just do it. It does. Lift your hands. You have to ask God when, why, surrender, praise, worship, invitation. Anyone else?
Walk around all day like that, right? It'll remind you to surrender.
I don't really know how to explain feeling like a bystander while the rest of my family is doing all sorts of marvelous things, but I seem to be watching it happen. And now here we are, just a few weeks away from one of my daughter's weddings, and we have another daughter whose beau has asked permission to pursue her, so we have another engagement imminent. We have three other children between us who are all older than those two. And there seem to be some rumblings that they are meeting people, but that's news that has yet to break. I've seen a remarkable transformation in my wife, Patty, who with Hannah spent a lot of time before God and together and in prayer. And I'm watching so many things blossom and grow and bear fruit, and I just feel like a bystander. I've done nothing to deserve the blessings that they seem to be spreading around me. And I just, God does these things not because we deserve them, but because He's showing His love. And I just feel thankful to receive all that. I don't even know whether I'll ever do something to deserve anything like that, but I feel like I want to give back Thanksgiving and just don't know how.
I'll throw this in. A friend told me one time God multiplies whatever you're thankful for. So the things you're thanking him for, he's going to increase them even more in your life. So you're going to have 5 more kids? No, just kidding. Not that way. Maybe grandkids. that face. Anyone else? I have a lot of kids to be thankful for. 5 kids married, 22 grandkids, 2 great-grandkids, and another great on the way. And Janiyah's just getting started with her 7. They got 5 to go. 6. 6 to go. She's going to have 13.
Harvey, did you get a haircut? We all thank God for your haircut.
No.
I want to thank God for bringing me back to his house once again today. I always have a good time when I'm at church. God always puts a smile on my face. And that's one of the very few things that do. You know, God puts a smile on my face. Everything else in this world takes it off. And I want to thank God for that. You know, that God does bring me happiness. And also I want to thank God that I've got a job to go to. For a few years, I've been through some real financial hardships. I'm hoping that's over now. I thank God that he has given me a job, and I pray that I can keep it until I move into what he has for me next. And I thank God for a lot of the people in my life who have helped me and helped my family and just prayed for me and just lifted us up before God through a lot of things that we have been through.
Another lovable teddy bear here. You ready to preach? Oh. Were you thankful for that little teddy bear you're holding? I'll hold him while you preach.
While you preach. While you talk.
Just being thankful. I'm not preaching. Isn't he cute?
Fun. I'm thankful for all my kids, and it's okay if they multiply, because obviously that's what I need. I'm thankful for a lot of stuff, and I'm just like my dad, and I cry every time I talk. I haven't always been very thankful for that, but I guess it's who I am. So, but I'm thankful for my parents. It's not really sad stuff. I'm just an emotional basket case all the time. But I'm thankful for my parents, and I am thankful for my husband, because he's, like, really awesome. And, like, God couldn't have done better, you know? Like, couldn't have given me anybody better to be the father of my kids and to love me and to love them. And he's, like, awesome. And I'll just fall now.
I'm thankful for your new house you're going
to
play.
And I'm thankful for the house that we're about to get. We're supposed to close the next couple weeks, and that is awesome because we really felt God wanted us to have that house, and we ran into, like, you know, red tape and just thing after thing that looked like it was going to make it not happen, and things are just really rolling along, and it looks like we're going to close and be in there before Christmas, so that's awesome. And I am really thankful for all of my family, because they're just, I look around and I see some people who don't have family or whose family, like, they don't support them or they're not there for them when they need things, you know, when they need someone to hear them or listen to them. And our family is so close and they're always there, you know, and I know I can count on them. And I have awesome friends like Patty, who I can, like, just pour out to, and she's always ready to, like, give me something that's encouraging or, you know, understanding. And I'm thankful that I lived through another year because I turned 32 yesterday. So I'm thankful for birthdays because they're fun. And my mom made me a cake, which I wish you would have gotten a picture of, Glenn. It would have gone right along with last year's cake.
I just made a replica of the house they bought, and it's 100 years old. So, of course, it's falling apart.
Anyways, I'm thankful for lots of stuff, and I'm thankful for this time of year, you know, that 2,000 years ago Jesus decided to come and be born, and that he was willing to go through not just the cross, because that was, I mean, that is like the ultimate horrible bad, but he went through everything from birth and the humiliation of God letting somebody change his diapers and clean up his puke and bathe him, and he had to be dependent on, like, humans to do that, you know, and that's really humbling that God would be willing to do that and to go through everything. Kids are cruel, and he went through the whole growing up process of everything that we go through, you know, like we look back and we watch our kids and we just see the cruelty of other kids, and Jesus lived through that because he was for me, you know. It's not just the cross, even though that in itself would be enough if he just came and died on the cross, but he lived through. He was willing to live for me. He was willing to live through everything that happens that is so hard, that makes us say, I wish I wasn't born, or I wish that I had a different status in life so that I was not being picked on, or that I was more beautiful, or, you know, all those things. And Jesus, the Bible says he wasn't gorgeous to look at. People didn't just go around saying wonderful things about him. They were all the time criticizing him and cutting him down and rejecting him for one reason or another, and it wasn't because he was so awesome that they just were jealous. You know what I mean? He was, but he just made himself to be common in his appearance or in his behaviors so that people did reject him. And, like, I'm really thankful that he was willing to be common and rejected and despised because he loved me so much that I was worth that to him. Because I wouldn't see myself as worth that, but he does, so...
Our daughter, she got saved at 3 years old, and she's been a blessing in our home. Four? Okay, I thought she was three. She used to come to the foot of our bed. She has a beautiful voice. She'd come in our bedroom at night, stand at the foot of our bed, and just sing worship songs over us. Hey, I think you ought to do that one more time before you move, Janaya. I think you should come to the foot of our bed and sing over us again before you leave our house. It just might. It just might. She's a blessing. Anyone else?
I'm just sitting here listening to everybody, and I too was just asking the Holy Spirit to come and give me the words to say, because if he doesn't, then I'll be crying too. Because that's who I am. You know, you guys know that. But where do I begin? Jesus, where do I begin? You're just so awesome. And I love you so much. As you guys know, some of you is around here. Almost a year and a half ago, my wife died because of complications with diabetes and other problems she had. I've had a struggle even before she died. I was driving truck and I had to get off the road and take care of her for about 4 years before she died. And now after she died, it's been that year and a half, so it's been that much more time I haven't had a job. My heart's pumping about like this because I'm so, so glad, so joyful for what God's been doing in my life. He's not only given me this family here. He's given me the family of the nation, of all the Christian people. He's given me that heart, his heart's desire for his people. And here goes those tears, but I don't care. They're all about him for him. But not only did I get a job. I got another extension to the family with my job. And opportunities and outreach for the lost souls that are out there. And the job that I'm doing, it's not like a job. It's like a wonderful opportunity instead of a job. And through the job, I've been able to get my own place. And by getting my own place, that's an outreach ministry also, for having people that need a place to stay that can stay with me. And it happened this weekend already. I don't even know if everybody knew that. But God is just so awesome. I don't know. I could stay in here all day long and give them thanks for everything, you know. But we all could, because we all have a lot of thanksgiving to God. But I just thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you for what your promise is coming true. All these prayers that I prayed through all these years are coming true. The visions that you've shown me, they're coming true, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. I thank you. I thank you.
There's a verse that says, "Oh, that my head were many waters, that I weep day and night for the daughter of my people." So you just have God's heart for His people, don't you? Love you. He's awesome. Sharon, you want to stay sitting?
Yeah. This is going to be short and sweet. CSS, sweet, oh my gosh. But anyway, and since it's going to ministry, Rolls of Sharon Ministries, and even though it has not materialized yet, you haven't seen the manifestation of it. Still calling those things that are not as though they were. And I hope that this is an incentive to the rest of the body that you continue to dream and dream big, so that no matter what you do, what God lays on your heart to do, you step out of faith and do it.
Amen.
Yeah, I forgot one of the most important things is you're supposed to give honor where honor is due. I don't know how I could have done this. But without the loving arms of my sister Judy opening the doors for her home, giving up her bed, giving up her life for me. But honors is due to you, Judy.
Oh, we got a bunch of crybabies here. It's crybaby church. God's a crybaby too, so it's all right. Anyone else?
I was praying last night and I felt like the Lord wanted us to be thankful. So it's really neat to come here and see everybody just, you know, giving testimonies of thankfulness. And I just want to say that's what something God's been kind of working on me lately with is my need to be more thankful, because I have a lot to be thankful for. A lot. And I'm thankful especially for my husband. I've been thinking, you know, I'm a pretty fragile person, and I think that's why God gave me such a good husband, you know, who's nice to me. Because it's probably not the easiest person to be nice to. And he's done that for me. And I'm very, very thankful for Harvey and Sue and this church. I don't know, and we would be in a very bad place if God didn't call them if they hadn't obeyed the Lord. And I mean, I suppose, well, I know God can work through other people, but He chose to work through them, and I'm very, very thankful that God brought them into our lives right at a key point, and that the fruit of their ministry has been growing in our lives. So I'm so thankful for you guys.